The following is a home program on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 4, text number 15, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari, recorded on January 1st, 2012, in Melbourne, Australia.
So, we are indeed most fortunate to have gotten the mercy of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Were it not for His sublime teachings, we would be simply drowning in this ocean of birth and death. Because of Srila Prabhupada's unbounded mercy, because of His infinite kindness, we have gotten this opportunity to be rescued from this most perilous situation in the material ocean. Today we're going to study from Bhagavad Gita as it is. Why this edition is important. There are so many Bhagavad Gitas, hundreds of them, in English especially. Why this edition? Why not just use another edition? Why Prabhupada wrote this edition? Because in most cases they tamper with the meaning. The commentators will change the meaning. They will not take the exact words of Krishna and simply present them. They will put their own idea in and spoil the whole thing. So Bhagavad Gita is potent for delivering us, but only if it is understood as it is. If you understand a Bhagavad Gita which is twisting the actual teachings of Krishna, that will not liberate you. You understand? You have to hear what Krishna actually told Arjuna, not somebody giving their own opinion and putting it in the words of Krishna. You see? So today we're reading from chapter 4, text number 15. Repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Evam gatva kritam karma.
Evam gatva kritam karma.
Purvairapi mumukshubi.
Purvairapi mumukshubi.
Kuru karmai vatasmatvam.
Kuru karmai vatasmatvam.
Purvai purvataram kritam.
Purvai purvataram kritam.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. All the liberated souls in ancient times acted with this understanding of my transcendental nature. Therefore, you should perform your duty following in their footsteps. Purport. There are two classes of men. Some of them are full of polluted material things within their hearts, and some of them are materially free. Krishna consciousness is equally beneficial for both of these persons. Those who are full of dirty things can take to the line of Krishna consciousness for a gradual cleansing process following the regulative principles of devotional service. Those who are already cleansed of the impurities may continue to act in the same Krishna consciousness so that others may follow their exemplary activities and thereby be benefited. Foolish persons or neophytes in Krishna consciousness often want to retire from activities without having knowledge of Krishna consciousness. Arjuna's desire to retire from activities on the battlefield was not approved by the Lord. One need only know how to act. To retire from the activities of Krishna consciousness and to sit aloof, making a show of Krishna consciousness, is less important than actually engaging in the field of activities for the sake of Krishna. Arjuna is here advised to act in Krishna consciousness, following in the footsteps of the Lord's previous disciples, such as the sun god Vivishvan, as mentioned herein before. The Supreme Lord knows all his past activities, as well as those of persons who acted in Krishna consciousness in the past. Therefore, he recommends the acts of the sun god who learned this art from the Lord some millions of years before. All such students of Lord Krishna are mentioned here as past liberated persons engaged in the discharge of duties allotted by Krishna. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatha Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Sajivam Sadhaitam Savadutam Bharijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. So Arjuna, he just wanted to retire, take early retirement. And Krishna did not approve of them. Rupa Goswami very nicely describes in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Anatta tasavishyan yatarpam upayunjadaha Nirbanda Krishna Sambande Yuktam Vairagyam Uchate Rapanchakitaya Bhujya Hari Sambandhi Vastanaha Mamukshuvi Vrityago Vairagyam Phagu Katyate. To turn down the volume a little bit, it's getting a feedback. Yeah. So the translation is a person who is not attached to anything, but at the same time accepts everything in relation to Krishna, is properly situated in Krishna consciousness. On the other hand, a person who renounces everything, not seeing its connection with Krishna, is called Phagu Vairagi. He is imperfect and incomplete in his renunciation. Have you heard of that river in India, the Phagu River? Anyone have heard the Phagu River? Yes, there's a river called Phagu River. And if you go to see the Phagu River, you say, where's the river? You just see some sandy area there. Why do they call it a river? I don't see a river. Actually, it's an underground river. It's not on the surface. So this is called Phagu, named after this river. It's called Phagu Vairagya. It's artificial renunciation. You make a show of being very renounced, but within and secretly, so much nonsense is going on. Make a show of being renounced at the same time maintaining all material desires is a useless waste of time. Simply a waste of time. The Mayavadis, they say, I want to stop acting because I want to get free from karma, therefore I will not act. Instead of acting, I will go into inaction. You see, this is their program. I will become inactive because I don't want any karma. What does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita? He describes one who is properly situated in transcendental understanding sees action in action. So what does that mean? The Mayavadi says, I'm not going to act. I will simply give up all activities. I will sit and meditate. But what's he doing? Is he sitting there meditating? Do you know what he's doing? He's breathing. And by his breathing, he's killing so many microbial germs. So is he inactive karmically? No. He's, therefore, a transcendentalist can see in his inaction there is actually action. Within his state of non-activity, he's still producing karma. So Krishna says, one who sees action in inaction. And then he says the opposite. And one who sees inaction in action. That's the opposite. That's the devotee, you see. He's very active. Arjuna is there on the battlefield shooting those arrows. He's very active, killing the enemies, you see. Very, very active. But yet it is inaction. Why? Because there is no karma. Because he is acting on behalf of Krishna, he is not acting for his personal sense gratification. Therefore, Arjuna is perfectly situated in a state of inaction. So you don't get free from karma by stopping to act. You get free from karma by acting for Krishna. This is the point. You see? This is the point. All the liberated souls in ancient times. That's an interesting statement, because this statement was made in during what we call now antiquity. 5,000 years ago was certainly an ancient time, you see. But even then, Krishna is talking about much more ancient times when he instructed the sun god. Actually, 5,000 years ago, compared to the millions and millions of years ago that Krishna instructed Vivishvan, the sun god, 5,000 years is just like yesterday. It's like yesterday morning, comparatively speaking, to millions of years ago. What's 5,000 years compared to millions of years? You see? Another nice point is, Krishna says, following in their footsteps. You see? This is our system. We see the activities of the great acharyas. Therefore, it is said, Mahajano yena gata sapanta. One should follow in the footsteps of the great acharyas. We should see what these great sadhus have done. It's called sadhu marganu gamanam. To follow in the footsteps of the great saintly teachers. In other words, we don't have to blaze. Here we are trapped in the wilderness of material existence. You don't have to blaze your own trail out of this place. You don't have to. The trail has already been blazed by the great acharyas. You simply have to follow that pathway, that's all. That's the beauty of these, the Bhagavad Gita. The pathway is already there. You don't have to figure out how to get out of the cycle of birth and death. The exact techniques, the exact methods are already here. All you have to do is plug in and practice it, that's all. You see. Man manava mad bhakto majadji mang namaskaru mam me vashushe yuktvayavang atmanang madparayanaha. Krishna says, engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee. Offer your worship me. Offer your homage unto me. And this way, becoming completely absorbed in me, certainly you will come to me. So it's not difficult. You see, you want to be successful? Want to be happy? Want to be peaceful? It's all here. Everything you desire is right here in the Bhagavad Gita. You don't have to go anywhere else. Everything you need to be happy, totally fulfilled, for all of eternity is right here in the Bhagavad Gita. So why are our minds dancing like monkeys here, there, and everywhere? Looking for satisfaction here in this material world. You will never find any satisfaction in this material world. Forget it. It doesn't exist. This is Marchaloka. It is a place of death. If you were you were sentenced to be executed. You were in the prison. In the U.S. we call it death row. I don't know what they call it here. It's the special cells for all those prisoners who are waiting their turn to be electrocuted. It's called death row. There's people who are in a life sentence in a different part of the prison, but those who are in the queue for being electrocuted, that's called death row, you see. So, guess what? We're on death row right now, this material world. We're on death row. Each one of us is lined up to be exterminated by the laws of nature. Mrityu sarva harashchaham. You see? Every one of us is in the queue waiting for our turn to be exterminated. That's a fact. Doesn't sound very pleasant, does it? No, it's not very pleasant at all. But if you will awaken your actual self, you see, that spiritual self, that eternal spiritual being that who is qualitatively one with the Supreme Lord, then death can't touch you. If you were on death row and it came your turn to be electrocuted, and they said, well, you got a special dispensation. All we're going to do is going to take your shirt and trash it and give you a new shirt. The governor gave you a special pardon, but we're going to give you a token punishment. We're going to take your shirt and rip it up and give you a new one. We're not going to kill you. We're just going to tear up your shirt. Well, that's our hail. Thank you. I'm happy. You're not going to electrocute me. Great. You're just going to tear up my shirt and give me a new one. See, if you're a devotee, he's still going to lose his material body, but it's just a shirt. I mean, what's the big deal? You know, we have so many shirts. If somebody rips up your shirt, you know, they spill some ink on it and ruins it, it can't come out. You're going to go into a panic because your shirt got some ink on it and it can't come out? No. Just get rid of it. Get another shirt. It's no big deal. So for a devotee, death is nothing. It's an insignificant thing. Just like, you know, a shirt that got ruined. That's all. So I get another one. Go on with my activities. The devotee engages in the activities of the soul, even while in this world, even while earning his livelihood. Have you heard of the great devotee Bhaktivinoda Thakur? You see, he is the... Everyone has heard of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He is the predecessor guru in our line. Prabhupada is there, his spiritual master, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, his spiritual master, Gaurakishore Das Babaji, and his spiritual master, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He was not a sannyasi. Even though he was guru, he was not sannyasi. You see. He was working for the British government, actually. And he said, I'm working to earn money for Krishna's household. Is it? So how many of you work and earn money here? Yeah. It's a pretty common thing. People work and earn money, you see. So just meditate on the mood of Bhaktivinoda. Embrace that mood. Take that mood into your own heart. And you'll become liberated from the fear of death. As long as you think you're working for your household, you're not going to be fully happy. You're going to have a deep-seated anxiety of knowing this can be ripped away from me at any minute. Give up the false sense of proprietorship. Stop thinking that it's yours, your body, your bank account, your wife, your husband, your kids, your apartments, your car. Give up the false sense of proprietorship. That is the root cause of all anxiety, the false sense of proprietorship. Simply understand, this is Krishna's property. I have this apartment, now we'll make it ashram, a place for spiritual cultivation, you see. It's like the temple is a place for spiritual cultivation. Your residence should also be a place for spiritual cultivation. If you take it in that way, then your work now becomes a karma without karmic reaction. Why is there a humming sound from the speaker?
Yeah, there is some.
Or is it somewhere else?
No, it's from the speaker. It's from the speaker.
Yeah. Can you turn it down or do something? It's not very... Because they're recording it on the... It's going to go on the internet. I want them to have a good recording. Yeah, that sounds better. Yes, leave that. Don't touch it. It's... Well, there it comes again. So... It's better now, anyway. So this is the amazing process of Krishna consciousness, bhakti yoga given by Krishna. Prabhupada has coined the term Krishna consciousness from the Sanskrit bhakti rasa bhavita mati. But this is a very wonderful way of explaining what is this science. It's to be fully conscious of Krishna in everything that you do. In every thought, every word, and every deed, you connect that with Krishna. And the result is that because Krishna is a reservoir of unlimited pleasure, when you connect with Krishna, you become happy just by his association. You see, if you associate with someone who's happy, you become happy just by that association. So in the same way, if you'll associate with Krishna... See, the beauty of Krishna is he's everywhere. Vasudev means one who lives everywhere. Krishna is everywhere. Wherever you go, Krishna is present. At home, at work, in the commute, wherever you may go, anywhere in all the three worlds. Even if you go to Patala Loka, you see, in the lower planetary system. Krishna is everywhere. There's nowhere where Krishna is not present. So if you just learn how to connect, how to go online with Krishna, you see, how to connect with Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Now you've just entered into the spiritual dimension. You can live in that spiritual dimension and at the same time act very successfully in this world. This is Arjuna did. Our jobs, admittedly, are sometimes like the battlefield of Kurukshetra. You see? What you have to put up with, you know, and your job, and the politics, and the pressure, and it's like the battlefield of Kurukshetra sometimes. But just as Arjuna was completely successful on the battle by being detached from the sense of ownership, that's all he had to do. All he had to do was detach himself from the sense of ownership, and then he became empowered to perform his duty with full success, you see. Full success. So becoming a devotee Krishna consciousness is it's not a place for people who just couldn't make it in the material world, you know, so try to get some cheap living, you know. Staying in an ashram and getting some chapatis. You know, they have that image of Vaishnava. They're just some beggars. People who couldn't make it in the material world, they become beggars, Vaishnava beggars, and they get some cheap, easy living, you know, getting fat on chapatis and rice and dal. That's a misconception people have about Vaishnavism. But that is not Vaishnavism. What are the two great literatures of India, famous literatures, Ramayana and Mahabharata? Who are the heroes? Hanuman and Arjuna, you see. They are fighters. They are very, very active, intensely active, Hanuman and Arjuna. So Prabhupada says, I don't want sit-down Vaishnavas, I want fighting Vaishnavas, you see. So that means to become very active for Krishna. Not that we become inactive, as Arjuna wanted to become inactive. No, we become very, very active for Krishna, you see. And that way we become completely transcendental to the laws of karma and we become qualified. I just read an amazing purport yesterday from Prabhupada. There was a great king, a Vedic king named Prithu Maharaj. Now, king means he's so much entangled in so many worldly activities. A king, he has to administer a whole kingdom. But yet, he was practicing karma yoga, working and offering the result to Krishna. The same thing as bhakti yoga. The same principle. Prabhupada said, actually, he became a liberated soul even within the present body he was liberated. Prabhupada says in this purport, generally we think that liberation is after you leave this body. You know, I go back, I become liberated at the death, I'll remember Krishna and be liberated at the time of death. But Prabhupada said, if you follow in the footsteps of Prita Maharaj, you can be liberated even during the present duration of life. You can become a completely liberated soul, just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a liberated soul while he was working as employee for the British government. You can be a liberated soul. That's a pretty amazing purport of Prabhupada, Bhagavatam. So, there's no limit to what you can achieve. We just had a seminar on all the steps of bhakti, shraddha to prema. You can go all the way to prema if you're determined. Prema, on that level, you can actually see Krishna directly. You have constant reciprocation with Krishna, personal reciprocation. Even in your present body, you can actually see Krishna if you anoint your eyes with the salve of love of God through this bhakti yoga process. So we will take this system very seriously, cultivate it with all earnestness, with all determination, with all enthusiasm and patience also. It doesn't come immediately. It doesn't come immediately. I've been doing this for 40 years now, and it definitely works, but it takes time. It takes time. When you plant a seed, you expect mangoes the next day? You plant a mango seed in your backyard, you get mangoes the next day? No, it's not possible. That little seedling has to come up and gradually becomes tree and becomes big, and then gradually the fruits are there. So you should patiently execute, faithfully execute the process of bhakti yoga under the guidance of the Vaishnavas and the spiritual master and Prabhupada's books, you see. Faithfully execute this process. And then you will get the result in due course. You will get prema. You will get love of God. The fruit of love of God will be yours, be your personal property in due course. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Pass them forward. No one even wrote any questions down. Does chanting really help in spiritual gain? Please share your experience. Yes. By every time you chant Hare Krishna, you make spiritual progress. It's just like if you have a pot that's really, really dirty. I mean, it's just, it hasn't been cleaned for years. And the bottom of that pot is completely black. Does that scrubbing help to get rid of the crud? Of course it does. Is it immediately clean? No. But you have to faithfully scrub and scrub and scrub and scrub and scrub, and you can know for certain that it will become a clean pot eventually. So our hearts are like dirty pots. They've been accumulating crud for millions and billions of lifetimes. So you got a lot of scrubbing to do. You got a lot of scrubbing to do. But if you scrub every day, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, you will get the result. And if I look at where I was 40 years ago and where I am now, it just absolutely amazes me to see, to think back of where I was and where I am now. It's like I know I'm the same person, but yet I'm not the same person. It's a complete, amazing transformation, psychological transformation I've experienced by chanting Hare Krishna. And you can too. How to control the anger? See, everything that happens to you is the mercy of Krishna to help you come closer and closer to Him. That's the way to control anger. Okay, now we get some hieroglyphics. See if I can figure them out. Okay. Is worshipping Krishna at home the same as worshipping Krishna at the temple? No. When you worship Krishna at home, you get to keep what you offer to Him. When you worship in the temple, you don't get to keep what you offer to Him. So in that sense, the temple is a better place. It helps us to understand we are not the proprietors. You should worship at home and take the prasad of Krishna at home. That's very beneficial. One should do that. But you should know the temple has extra potency. Not that you can simply worship at home and neglect the temple. Because the temple helps you break free from the false conception that you're the proprietor. When you worship at home, you get to keep whatever you offer. You can make a nice offering to Krishna, and there, now the prasad is there for your family after the offering, is it? When you go to the temple, you may You may not see anything that you offer to me. You know, you may bring so many nice things, may not see any of them. They're distributed here and there. You may not even get any of them. So the temple is very good because it helps to break free from the false sense of proprietorship. And why is it important to go to the temple regularly? Because the temple has extra potency. It is called sadhu sangha, the association. It's not just the deities. Even more important is the association of the devotees. That's even more important than the deities. Sadhu sangha, sarva shastrikai, sadhu sangha, lava matra, sarva siddhi hai. This is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Even one moment's association with a sadhu. And what is that moment? Lava matra. It's 1/11th of a second. Even 1/11th of a second association with a sadhu can give all perfection. All the scriptures confirm this. This is the verse. So this is so powerful. If you can have the association of an advanced devotee even for 1 minute, that 1 minute or that 1 second can completely liberate you from millions and billions of lifetimes of repetition of birth and death. In that, it will give you that inspiration, that seed of bhakti planted in the heart, as confirmed also in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Brahmande brahmate konna bhagyavan jeev guru krishna prasade pai bhakti lata bij. That living entity who is most fortunate, after wandering through millions and billions of lifetimes in the cycle of birth and death in this material universe, if he comes in contact with a sadhu, by the mercy of that sadhu and the mercy of Krishna, he gets the seed of bhakti planted within his heart. Bhakti lata bij. Bij means seed. Lata means creeper. Bhakti, you know. So he gets the seed of bhakti, creeper, planted in his heart. So the temple, you get that extra potency. The senior devotees who are there, the older devotees who are there, who've been practicing for many years Krishna consciousness, they have shakti. They have bhakti shakti. So by getting their association, you get a jump start on your pathway back to Godhead. What does mayavadi mean? Literally, a vadi is meaning one who holds to a principle. So we are Krishnavadis. You see, we are the Krishnavadis. Or you can say Prasadvadis. If one sticks to a certain principle, you see, or Kirtanvadi. A mayavadi is one who holds that the form of the Lord is maya. It's an illusion. That's why he's called, they don't call themselves mayavadi, we call them mayavadi. They say the form of God is an illusion. That Krishna has no personality, he's nirakar, the absolute truth is nirakar without form. They take verses in the Vedas out of context where sometimes the Lord is described as formless, but the verse just next to it will talk about his transcendental personality. So they take these verses completely out of context. This is called half-hen logic. This is very dangerous. You know, you heard of that half-hen logic, Ardha Kukuti Nyaya? You know that half-hen logic? Yes. And there was one farmer, you see. He had a hen. And that hen laid very, very nice eggs. And he got a very nice price in the market for those eggs. He was very happy. But he said, I have one complaint about this hen. This hen has voracious appetite. I'm spending so much money on chicken feed. And then the farmer said, I have a very good idea. I will get rid of the part of the hen that costs me money, and just keep the end of the hen that makes money. So he cut off the head of the hen. You see? And the stupid rascal didn't understand by doing that, he's not going to get any eggs. You see? This is called half-hen logic. So the mayavadis, they are ardha kukuti nyayis. They are half-hen logicians. They take half of the teaching and don't take the other half. When it says that Krishna is formless, it means he has no material form, you see. But they say it has no form, period, which is not correct. So that's mayavadis. And their philosophy appeals because they say there's only one reality, and that is God. Nothing else exists except for God. The oneness is God. The impersonal, formless oneness is God, and that's all that exists. There is God and nothing but God, and that's it. So actually, therefore, you are God. They teach you that you are God, and you just have to realize it, you see. Right now, you're foolishly thinking that you're Mr. Such and Such or Mrs. Such and Such, you see. But you have to come out of the illusion and realize that actually you are God. So it's an attractive thing. Wow, I'm God. Cool, I can dig that, you see. You see? People are attracted by this. I'm God. Wow, cool. Great. I'm in. I'm joining your organization. If I can be God. So this is Mayavad. And it's completely bogus because Krishna is God and nobody else. Even the demigods are not God. So how we can be God? Is Earth the only Martyaloka? No, this whole material, even Brahmaloka is Martyaloka. Everywhere in this material world is a place of death. That's confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 8:16. Abrahma bhuvana loka punaravartino jana mamupechita konjaya punarjanmana vidyate. From the highest planet in this material world down to the lowest, every place is simply a miserable place. But, O son of Kunti, one who attains to my abode, punarjanmana vidyate, he never takes birth again. So everywhere is Marshallow. Okay, more questions? All right. How to progress continuously in Krishna consciousness? Please share your experience. You have to make pure devotion your goal, you see. That my goal is to become a pure devotee of Krishna, you see. You have to shoot for the highest success. Don't shoot for some middle ground. Shoot for pure bhakti. Be inspired by the prospect of becoming a pure devotee. Prabhupada personally encouraged me like this, so I'm speaking from my experience now. He told me in one letter, he said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. So that's, wow, that's something to really look forward to. I know by Prabhupada's mercy that day will come when I can see Krishna face to face, when I can personally see him, just like the great sages saw Krishna. I know it's coming for me, you see. So that encourages me. Because Prabhupada gave me that order, and that's a whole life of enthusiasm. Plus, he also gave me an order to always be enthusiastic. He said, that's another way. Prabhupada ordered me. For me, it's been the personal instructions I got from Prabhupada, actually, to be honest. For me, it was the personal instructions, many personal instructions that Prabhupada gave me. That's been my great source of enthusiasm. When I first joined, I got initiated, but Prabhupada was not there, so I couldn't just give him my dakshina. I had to mail him my dakshina. So that was a great opportunity. I get to write Prabhupada a letter along with the dakshina. And so I told Prabhupada I wanted to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. And he was very pleased that I told him that. He wrote me back. He said, I can see that you are a very sincere, enthusiastic boy. Now continue enthusiastically as you are doing, and surely Krishna will bless you. So that instruction carries with it unlimited potency. When the spiritual master gives you an instruction, that instruction carries unlimited potency. And if you completely dedicate yourself, your whole existence, to fulfilling that instruction, then you will never lose your enthusiasm. You'll make steady progress on the pathway back to Godhead. Take the order of the spiritual master, embrace it as your very life and soul, and you will never waver, you'll never fall down, and you'll make continuous progress. I hardly enjoy chanting and have no attraction for it. How should I continue? The jaundiced patient has no attraction for sugar candy because when you have jaundice, it tastes very, very bitter. But he takes the sugar candy on the order of his physician because that cures his jaundice. So right now, you don't like the chanting. You're not attracted to him. It might be even bitter. But you chant because the spiritual master has ordered you to chant. You see. By that chanting, you become purified. The chanting has unlimited nectar in it. But right now you're not experiencing it because you're covered by the material modes of nature. But if you will chant on the order of Guru Maharaj, then that contamination will go away and the pure, unadulterated nectar of the name will manifest on your tongue. It will become the most delicious thing you've ever tasted, even more tasty than gulab jamun. Hare Krishna. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Sometimes I feel I have a nice job, settled down in Melbourne nicely and living happy life. Then why should I worship Krishna? Well, your nice little Melbourne nest is going to be, you're going to have your feathers ruffled soon, my dear bird, by the laws of nature. So if you want a permanent nice nest, you better become Krishna conscious. How can we understand Krishna is the cause of all causes and doesn't have a source? People say, well, where did Krishna come from? But the whole point is that person who is the source of everything doesn't have a source. If he did, his source would be the source, not him. You understand? Of course, you could say, he does have a source. And what is that source? Himself. Krishna manifests himself. Krishna is his own source, you see. That's the difference between you and Krishna, you see. Your source is Krishna. Actually, in that sense, we have a similarity with Krishna also. Krishna's source is Krishna. And our source is also Krishna. You see? Krishna says, Aham sarvasya prabhava matak sarvam pravartate. I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. That means you emanate from Krishna. You don't come from your mother and father. Your body may have come, but that's not you. And even that originally comes from Krishna. All this material energy is all coming out of him. You see, so Krishna is the source, and that, we know that from the scripture. We know that from the great sadhus. And you say, "Well, I'm still skeptical. What if the sadhus are making it up? What if the scripture is concocted by some poet, some expert poet? How do I really know that Krishna is the source?" Well, I can guarantee you this: if you will qualify yourself to meet Krishna, then you'll personally see how Krishna is the source. So if you want to qualify yourself, then you have to chant Hare Krishna, give up sinful activities. And that day will come when you will personally see how Krishna is the source of everything. Just as Arjuna could see, you will also be able to see. Given while trying to practice Krishna consciousness and keeping Krishna in the center of our family life, we are still attached to our family. Is that attachment right or wrong? Should we be detached from the family? It depends. It depends. You can go either way. And here's how to understand. Actually, Prabhupada explains in the Krishna book that Krishna is the only object of love. That means all of our love should be given to Krishna and nobody else. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Ananyas chintayanto mang yejana prayapasate Tesham nitchabayuktanang yogachemam vaham yaham. Krishna says, that's 922. Krishna says, for those who worship me with exclusive devotion. What does exclusive mean? What does exclusive devotion mean? If I'm exclusively devoted to you, what does that mean, Prabhu? It means I'm devoted to you and nobody else. I exclude everything else and I'm simply devoted to you, you see. That's called exclusive devotion. So Krishna talks about exclusive devotion, only devoted to me. You may say, but what about my wife? What about my kids? What about my husband? What about my father and mother? Is Krishna being cruel to me, ripping me away? No, Krishna is connecting you. When you... Where do you exclusively give your food when you eat? You exclusively give all of your food to the belly. Now, doesn't every part of your body require nutrition? Doesn't your earlobe need nutrition also? So do you stick some prasadam in your, rub it in your ear? You see? Every part of your body requires nutrition. Even nutrition makes your fingernails grow. You see? Every part of your body, but where do you put all the food? In the belly. By feeding the belly, you serve every one of your bodily parts. By exclusively giving all the food to your belly, you are feeding every part of your body. By exclusively giving all of your love to Krishna, you are giving perfect love to every living entity throughout the entire existence. So if you're really attached to your family, you will give all your love to Krishna. If you're really attached. But I say this, if you give them some love which is not related with Krishna, that's simply your own greed. It's not love. I'll scratch your back if you'll scratch my back. If you want to really, if you're truly attached to your family, you will give all your love to Krishna so that you can truly love your wife, so you can truly love your husband, so you can truly love your kids. You see? That's the understanding. Our philosophy is not detachment. Our philosophy is attachment. The Mayavadis are into detachment. We are not into detachment. But our philosophy is to engage the entire world in Krishna's service. If I love my wife, I will see that she has full facility to be Krishna conscious 24 hours a day. If I love my husband, I truly love him, I will see that he has full facility to be Krishna conscious 24 hours a day. The same with the kids, the parents, everyone. That is love. So you should not be detached. You should be totally attached by connecting everyone with Krishna. That is the perfection of attachment. And if you have a love which is not centered on Krishna, that's Maya. You see. Your love has to all be centered on Krishna. Otherwise, it's lust disguising as love. It's not genuine love. Scripture says that cows are more dear to, or most dear to Krishna. Then why cows are suffering, brazenly tortured and slaughtered, and yet Krishna is not doing anything? He is doing something. He's appeared as this Krishna consciousness movement to save the cows. So now it's up to us to take this movement that Krishna has given us and expand it, its influence, to save these poor cows. Why Krishna did not do anything while his temples were attacked and demolished by Muslims? Well, why do you think Krishna didn't do anything? There's an inner purpose and inner meaning for everything. First of all, you have to understand that Krishna gives everyone free will to serve him directly or to serve him indirectly by serving his material energy. So Krishna gives the living entities a free choice. He never interferes with that free choice. If they misuse that, they get the reactions. So it's happened that sometimes devotees look at Jesus Christ. He was crucified, tortured and killed Of course, that's superficial, but you know, the soul wasn't killed. So why God allowed these things to go on? Everything has a purpose and a meaning. We can't always understand it, but everything has a purpose and a meaning in the greater scheme of things. For helping us come closer and closer to Krishna.
That's to make the devotees more glorious.
Huh?
To make the devotees more glorious.
Yes. If the temples are attacked, then that's an opportunity for us to become, to step forward and do something. Just like, how much do Indian politicians promote Vedic Dharma? Practically nothing, maybe a false show. But recently, when the Russian court wanted to ban the Bhagavad Gita throughout entire country of Russia because it was extremist literature, Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita specifically, the Russian court wanted to ban it. It was a huge outcry in the Indian parliament. They had to shut down the parliament. They brought out the bhakti, which is buried deep in the heart of these politicians. Their bhakti was actually coming out. They were angry and they were creating a huge uproar in the lower house of the parliament. And they had to close down the parliament for the morning because it was such an uproar on this issue, the Bhagavad Gita being banned in Russia, you see. So why did Krishna do that? Actually, we won the case. The Bhagavad Gita is cleared. But that threat against the Bhagavad Gita was a fantastic thing to help raise the bhakti in the hearts of these Indian politicians. So sometimes we do face reverses, but those things are to increase our devotion. Everything a devotee sees in a positive way. How Krishna left his body? He didn't leave his body. He took his self-same body back to the spiritual world. All he left behind here was his virat rup, his material manifestation. Krishna went back to Godhead in his original body. And he wasn't actually... A hunter shot an arrow at his foot, but you know what? It's described by one of the great acharyas, that arrow didn't even pierce the skin. Didn't even break the skin. How can anybody be killed if an arrow bounces off their foot and doesn't even break the skin? Krishna was not killed by being shot in the foot by a hunter's arrow. He simply took this as a cue. This is my cue for going back to Godhead. That's all. This is a sign that it's now time for me to go back. He was not killed. Do not think that Krishna was killed. Krishna can never be killed.
Ordinary person cannot be killed by the arrow shot in the foot. How can Krishna be?
Yeah, even an ordinary man. If an arrow in the foot is not going to kill you, unless it's a poison arrow. But it wasn't described as a poison
then
arrow.
Then it can be saved.
Just an ordinary arrow in the foot, it's not going to kill anybody. It may have. Why Krishna did not do anything while his own kshatriyas, the yadavas, were drinking intoxications? Because it was a whole pastime for them. They were all going to leave. It was an exit pastime. It was time for them all to go back to where they were before. It was just a grand exit. And this way, Krishna has no seminal descendants who can claim false divinity, being the physical descendants of Krishna. All of his descendants were wiped out. There's no physical descendants of Krishna on this planet who can artificially claim divinity and do all kinds of nonsense that we are up in the family of Krishna. You see, that's another reason his family members all left with him. So no, there's no dynasty, Krishna dynasty, continuing. Where people can claim that I am, you know, great because I'm a descendant of Krishna. Maharaj, I could feel a slowdown in my devotional service because of an uncontrolled mind. I really like this process and want to make a small comeback. What should I do? Why do you want to make a small comeback? You should make a big comeback. Should think big. Don't think small. Think big. That's the first point. That's why you had a slowdown. You were thinking small instead of thinking big. You have to think big. of achieving the topmost perfection. You see, you have to think big, become enthusiastic to become perfect in Krishna consciousness, to achieve unlimited bliss, unlimited happiness, unlimited love, unlimited peace. You should be very enthusiastic to become perfect in Krishna consciousness. If you think big, your enthusiasm will keep going. But if you think small, then you're going to have slowdowns. So don't think small anymore. Think big. There's so much suffering. Still people do not eagerly take up the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. Why is that? Because they think they're enjoying. They foolishly think they can enjoy this material world. You see, I got some money, I got my apartment, I got a stereo, I have my girlfriend, I can enjoy it. You see, it's called Maya Sukhaya, illusory happiness. What does eating only prasadam do? How does it change the consciousness? It transforms your consciousness from material consciousness to spiritual consciousness. The more you eat prasadam, Prabhupada one time was attending some, it was a big one of these multi-guru things in India where all the gurus come. Prabhupada generally doesn't go to these things. They were all Mayavadis except for Prabhupada. They're all presenting their Mayavadi philosophy, dry Mayavadi philosophy. Prabhupada had his dancing white elephants come there and do the kirtan and completely captivated the whole audience. And then Prabhupada was commenting, you know, they will go on speculating for millions of years, but we will make spiritual advancement simply, we will go back to Godhead simply by taking prasadam. Initially, when I started Krishna consciousness, I was very excited, but not much now. How to maintain enthusiasm? What makes us more excited all the time? Well, Prabhu, your initial attempt to become Krishna conscious was rajasic. It wasn't sattvic. That's why you lost your enthusiasm. So you have to become sattvic. See, happiness in the mud of passion is nectar in the beginning and poison at the end. Something is new, something is different, something is exotic. That's exciting in the mud of passion. So Krishna consciousness is new, different, and exciting. But you have to. But there's so many things that are new. You can be a surfer also. That's new, different, and exciting also when you first start doing it. So you have to see, you have to understand through the eyes of the scripture. You have to see this process through the eyes of the scripture. And then you develop a sattvic vision, a sattvic consciousness by reading the books carefully and understanding the science, then you'll never lose your enthusiasm. You're just doing it without proper knowledge. That's why you lost your enthusiasm. You were in the doing mode, you weren't in the meditative mode. You see, the meditative mode is the mode of goodness. The doing mode is the mode of passion. The sleeping mode is the mode of ignorance. I see. Your bhakti was in the doing mode. It wasn't in the meditative mode. And therefore you lost your taste. So you have to learn to do the meditative mode along with the doing mode at the same time. We don't say give up your passion, but you have to do the doing mode and the meditative mode simultaneously. Good quality japa, good sadhana, rising early in the morning before the sunrise, chanting the holy names. In this way, you must cultivate sattva-gun. In this way, when you connect on that level, you'll never lose your enthusiasm. Why people get attached to material things, attracted to material things in spiritual life? Because they're not well-educated, that's all. They take the cheap imitation jewel as more valuable than the real diamond. There's poor education. There's no proper training in the schools. The parents don't train the children. No one's training anyone properly. Everybody is trained. What's the first thing they say when you come out of the womb? Oh, look, it's a boy. It's a girl. That's the first thing you hear when you come out. It's a boy. It's a girl. And you think, oh, I'm a boy. I'm a girl. That's illusion right there. You're not a devotee, you see. We are trained to identify with a body the very minute we come out of the womb. We're programmed to think, I'm this body, you see. Therefore, people are attracted to the glitter of so-called sense gratification. How to distinguish that which is an activity of the pleasure of Krishna and not one's own sense gratification? Well, you have to see what's in Prabhupada's books, and that's why a guru is very important. Senior devotees are very important. They'll say, Prabhu, that's Maya. What are you doing? You see. That's sense gratification. It's important to have advanced association. Vaishnava's guru and Prabhupada's books, these are very, very important so we can know the difference. How to cultivate the habit of reading Prabhupada's books regularly? Just do it and you'll get the taste. Do it every day, even if it's only 15 minutes a day. You must read Prabhupada's books every single day. What is the destination of Paramatma, realized soul, and Brahman, realized soul? The Paramatma body can know either he can go further to bhakti or he can go to the Brahman. It depends. And the Brahman realized person, he merges into the Brahmajyoti for some time, then he falls down again to material existence. What is the importance of guru? Without guru, you can't go back to Godhead. Prabhupada says them. And without initiation, you cannot go back to Godhead. So guru is absolutely essential to save you from your material existence. How to balance our life between family, work, and Krishna consciousness? Do everything for Krishna. Your family life, your work life, and everything should be offered to Krishna. And then you're perfectly balanced. What do you like most about Prabhupada is mercy. Being from the Western country, how did you come in contact with Krishna consciousness? Well, it was kind of a mystical experience for me. I realized the material world was no good, and I might have, on my way to India, going to go to India and just renounce the world, become a sadhu in India, and give up my whole life as a wandering mendicant in India. I was going to do that. But on the way, something said, you should go to San Francisco instead. There was a voice inside, go to San Francisco. So I went the opposite way to San Francisco, and I met the devotees. And then gradually they convinced me to join. For beginner in Krishna consciousness, what is the most important progress? You have to learn how to hear. You have to learn how to deeply focus and hear and take deep into your heart what you're hearing. That's the most important thing, hearing. How to read and relish Prabhupada's books ideally? Take them deep into your heart. Let every word go deep into your heart. How can we believe? No more questions, by the way. I'm just going through these quickly. I'm on limited time. So I'm going to answer all these quickly. And that one and that, no more questions. This is the cutoff. How can we believe that Bhagavad Gita is spoken by Krishna and not the philosophy of someone? Well, on the authority of the great sages, that's one way. On the authority of the great sages. And the other way is becomes purely self-realized, and you will see how Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita personally. You'll be able to see it by your own realization how Krishna is the speaker of Bhagavad Gita. Is gambling against spiritual progress? And why the Pandavas being pure devotees got involved in the gambling match? This Kshatriyas, that was their part of their that was part of them part of their part of the dharma of Kshatriya is gambling. But that is not for us. We are cultivating rabbinical consciousness, not Kshatriya consciousness. When do we know it's time to become a family person? Why do you think you should ever become a family person? Tapasa brahmacharina. The best thing is to remain single, you men. But most men will want to get married, so the ladies don't have to worry. But if some man wants to remain single, it's very good. When do we know it's time to become a family person? If your mind is so disturbed, should I get married or should I not get married? You're constantly disturbed. I better just go and get married. You don't have to think about it anymore. But if you're fixed in the determination, I want nothing to do with married life, and stay single. But if you think, well, should I or shouldn't I? Every day you're going, should I or shouldn't I? You better go ahead and do it because you're never going to be fixed. If you can fix your mind, that's great. If you can't, then it's better to be married so your mind will be fixed. If in the spiritual world knowledge is perfect, then how I can misuse my little independence? Independence means it can be misused. Otherwise, there's no meaning to independence. If Krishna is all loving, then why did he create a material world which is full of misery? Why does the government create a prison house to reform the prisoners, to make them law-abiding citizens? Can a person suffering physical pain also progress in Krishna consciousness? Who is not suffering physical pain in this material world? Can you name me one person who doesn't suffer physical pain here? Everybody suffers pain. Adi Atmik, Adi Bhautik, Adi Daivik. We're all suffering pain. Is it true that whatever happens is pre-planned by Krishna, or is it our own karma? There are two plans going on. There's two channels on the TV set of reality, Channel A and Channel B. You have the power to flip the switch. You see, but there's a program on either channel that's coming from Krishna. Directly, the spiritual energy is Krishna. Directly, and he has empowered, his empowered representative, Mayadevi, is programming the other channel. So you have a choice which program you want to tune into. You see, that's your choice. At any minute, you always have the free will to flip the switch. You see. If you choose Maya's program, you're like on a conveyor belt in a factory. You're completely pulled like a puppet. You come just a dancing dog in the hands of Mayadevi. It's all you are. But if you choose the spiritual channel, you become a liberated soul with full freedom. So you want a life of freedom or a life of slavery? It's your choice. You see, it's, karma does not dictate which way you flip the switch. That is beyond the laws of karma. It's up to you. How do you get the intelligence to flip to the spiritual channel? By the association of sadhus. So, that being said, I'm going to stop here. And I will, if you want to catch more, I'll be giving the Sunday feast lecture tonight at the temple, 5 o'clock. If you want to catch more, you can come, you can bring your questions also written down. It'll be very handy. If you have more questions, please come tonight. And if you have even more questions, go to www.backtohome.com. Sign up for my free e-course, the Ultimate Self-Realization course. And every day you'll get some Krishna Gita in your mailbox. And you can ask me questions as much as you want on the internet. And I will answer them. So that's again www.backtohome.com. That's how you can get signed into the Ultimate Self-Realization course. So I thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.